Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. And you can get our podcast wherever you'd like to download those from. Have you ever found yourself confused by circumstances in your life? Maybe you have felt somewhat trapped in a particular trial or a struggle. That happens to people at points in life's journey. And certainly people can make some bad decisions, put themselves in difficult situations. So we do have to consider our decision-making if we find ourselves in a bad spot. But then sometimes circumstances seem beyond our control. Maybe things aren't going the way we expected them to go. So whether we have entrapped ourselves through bad decisions or we're facing a serious trial that has popped up, we can learn from the history of ancient Israel that history is recorded for us to learn from. And Israel had to learn to follow God's lead, even in moments when they didn't understand the exact direction or why things were going the way they were going. God freed ancient Israel from Egyptian slavery. I think you know that history. And of course, they were obviously thrilled to be freed, but it didn't take long and they found themselves in a tough situation, or so they thought. Let's pick up the history here in Exodus 13. And this is very familiar history to you, I'm sure, but at the same time, it's so good to go back to it because it does remind us of some important lessons that we'll look at. Exodus 13, let's look at verses 20 and 21. If you have a Bible handy, it'd be good to get it out. We could look at these scriptures together and look at this history that we are to learn from. Exodus 13 and verse 20, this is Israel after they've come out of Egypt, and it says, they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Eternal, verse 21, went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. So God was leading Israel in a really remarkable way. Pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He was showing them where to go. They had to follow that direction. And so one, I guess, could think, well, that would be pretty smooth sailing. God's presence is right there leading them. And so they shouldn't have any trials or difficulties or problems. But of course, they did run into some difficulties. Israel soon found themselves in what appeared to be a very dire situation. Notice Exodus 14. It says, and the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, this is verse 1, now verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall you encamp by the sea. So some very specific instructions here on where to go, where to camp, where to rest. And as you read the next few verses, you see that God had a specific plan. He was doing this for a specific reason, but, you know, Israel, they became overwhelmed by the circumstances they were about to face. And they lost sight of the fact that God was in control of events, and they got panicked in the moment. Notice verse 9, what happens here. It says, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon. And of course, they're right where God told them to be. He led them to that spot, and here the Egyptians come pursuing after them. Verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Eternal. Israel looked up, they saw the armies of Egypt coming, they knew they were in a bad spot, and they were afraid. You know, they became afraid because of what they saw. The circumstances that they could view, the situation that they were in. And we too, at times, can be overwhelmed by what we see. And we can put more weight or more emphasis on what our eyes tell us than what God promises us. And that's where faith will waver. If we just believe what our eyes show us and we don't think about what God promises, we're going to have moments in life that don't look good. To our eyesight, to our viewpoint, to our thought process, it doesn't seem good. And we can tend to put a lot of stock into that and not really think much about what God promises us. Of course, faith has to be based on the Word of God. We have to know what God promises and then believe Him. But sometimes we see things and that isn't in line with what we think should happen, and we can get pretty turned around. And Israel was in a spot like that. Verse 11, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore have you dealt with us this way to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Israel's attitude became quite bad here. They, you know, were a carnal-minded people. They were afraid. They were overwhelmed. You know, they were following God's lead. And then they ended up in what appeared to be a totally hopeless situation. There's nothing they could do against the approaching Egyptian military might. They had no ability to fight off the Egyptians. And so to their eyes, they were stuck. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear you not, don't be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Eternal, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Eternal shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So Israel thought they were in the worst possible position. That's what their eyes told them. But what they didn't see with their eyes was that they were actually in the best position possible. And why was that? Well, it's because God was about to fight for them. The rest of the circumstances didn't matter. God was setting something up so that he could have victory on the Egyptians. But Israel, they were afraid. Now, that can happen to us. Have you ever been in what seemed like a hopeless situation? Have you been in a position where there's nothing you can do? You're about to be overrun. Well, if you turn it over to God and you follow his lead, then he will fight for you. That's what he does. Now, the way he goes about solving the problem sometimes are different, oftentimes different than what we would think, or maybe the way we would do something. But again, if we're going to follow God's lead, he'll lead us. He'll lead us. And Israel was following God's lead here, and they thought, well, we got led into the worst possible situation. And yet, God was just setting up circumstances so that he could fight for them, and they could learn to trust him a little bit more. Verse 15, and the Eternal said unto Moses, wherefore cry you unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And they're probably thinking, well, where are we going to go? We're stuck. Well, God was going to deliver them. And that can happen to us. And it does happen to us in a trial where we can feel like we're stuck. But God opens up a path. Verse 16, it says, but lift you up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Who would believe it, right? Who would believe something like that could happen? But God is a miracle-working God, and he did it. Now, of course, there's skeptics today even that say, oh, did that really happen? Well, it did. It did. There's plenty of proof in many ways, but certainly the Word of God is proof enough. This happened. It's a miracle. God split the Red Sea so they could go through. Verse 17, and I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. God had a plan. He was working it out. And he was doing a lot of things that the Israelites had no knowledge of at that time. They couldn't see it. They couldn't discern it other than what Moses would tell them. And God works a lot of miracles. He does a lot of things when he's fighting for a person or he's fighting for his people. And we don't always see it, but we do see the end result. Verse 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, and it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. God was doing all of these miraculous things to make sure things happened just as he planned. He was going to deliver Israel. He was fighting for Israel. None of these things that we're reading about could Israel have done. They didn't have the capability, the power to do any of these things. God had to do it. God had to fight for them. And that's true in our lives too. We do come into situations where we're, you know, trapped between the Red Sea, so to speak, and the mountains and the advancing military, and there's nothing we can do. And that's a pretty hopeless feeling. But then at the same time, if we're thinking about it correctly, it's wonderful to be able to turn it over to God and put it in God's hands and know that God has to fight the battle. Sometimes we have to be in a position where we really understand that we can't do anything so that we let God fight it for us, because otherwise we probably try to figure things out our own way at times. And sometimes there's things we can do and other times not. It depends. We need to have wisdom and pray for God's discernment in those situations. But here God was working something out miraculously. Verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Eternal caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Not only was it a path through the sea, but it was dry land, so they didn't get stuck. So God worked out all these details. There's no way a human being could have done these things. God did them, though. God delivers his people. He said he'd fight for them. And he did. Verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. And boy, I mean, what a miracle they were experiencing. It's something that I'm sure they never forgot their whole lives. Verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea. And so even at this point, I suppose, Israel could have been a little concerned. You know, they're coming right after us through the sea as well. All of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen. You can imagine the sound of that. The dust they were kicking up, probably the yelling. It'd be quite a commotion. Verse 24, and it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Eternal looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and he troubled the host of the Egyptians. It's quite interesting to think about what they saw. Something really troubled them there. Verse 25, and he took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Eternal fights for them against the Egyptians. Here, the Egyptians finally got the point that both Israel and Egypt needed to understand, and it's that God fights for them. God fights for his people. God will fight their battles. He'll deliver them. He'll deliver us if we follow his lead. We have to follow his lead. And I imagine this was so overwhelming that people just did that they followed along. But, you know, sometimes in life we might say, well, I want to take a different path. And we need to make sure we're following God, because God fights for his people and he makes the path. He opens the path up for us to go in the right direction. Verse 26, it says, and the Eternal said unto Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians and upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. Terrifying for the Egyptians caught in that. Really understanding that they made a mistake, that God was fighting for Israel. The sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Eternal overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The problem was gone. Completely. God absolutely destroyed the enemy. If we have things in our lives that we need to be conquered and destroyed, and situations that we need deliverance from, well, we need to follow God's lead, because God fights for his people. Verse 28, and the waters returned and covered the chariots, covered the horsemen, covered up all the problems, all the difficulties, all the trials. And all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, there remained not as much as one of them. and never had to worry about that again. When God solved the problem, he solved it. He delivered them, and they didn't have to worry about it anymore. Verse 29, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. What a difference it made for Israel to have God fighting for them. They were in the same geography, the same area as the Egyptians. They were in the same sea as the Egyptians, but the Egyptians were being buried in the water, and the Israelites were walking on dry land because God was fighting for them. Verse 30, thus the Eternal saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Their problem was solved. God saved Israel. God saves his people. He fights for his people. This should be a very faith-building history lesson for us, because like Israel, we can get caught in situations. Maybe they're of our own making, or maybe they're not, but one way or the other, we can be in some situations that aren't good. They're difficult. How do we get out of them? How do we get to freedom? How do we, you know, have the problems be destroyed or the enemy be destroyed? Well, we follow God's lead, his direction. And we trust him, even though at moments in that journey, we probably find that we're maybe not where we thought we'd be. But if we're following God, he'll lead us. He'll lead us to the direction that he wants us to go, and we'll have victory and success. Notice this quote. It's from Lesson 30 of the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. It's a free course at thetrumpet.com. It'd be great to sign up for it if you have not done that yet. And it says, on the sixth day of unleavened bread, the Egyptian army overtook the Israelites encamped near Pi Hathoroth. Mountains made escape impossible to the south and west. The Red Sea to the east was nearly 8 miles across at that point. And Pharaoh's army stood due north of the Israelites. They were trapped. See, those are the moments that we can find ourselves in life at times. A hopeless feeling, a trapped feeling. But yet, God delivers us if we follow his lead. The quote says, knowing that Pharaoh would pursue his ex-slaves, God told the Israelites to leave the normally traveled road. He led them into a trap for their own good, to prove them and to us today that he alone offers salvation if we will trust him. You know, we need God to lead us on our path through life physically, but ultimately we need him to lead us on that path to salvation. And we have to follow that path. It's not the big broad way of the world. It's a narrow path, and it's not easy at times. But as we follow God's lead, he'll deliver us. He'll fight for us. Even in moments where we seem like we're trapped, we can look to him and trust him and know and remember this history that God fights for his people. If you'd like to learn more about this history, Lesson 30 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, and of course, pagan holidays or God's holy days, which talks about Days of Unleavened Bread specifically and gives you some of this great history and the meaning of it as well. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.